Amen. Thank you, Melissa. Great job on the piano, and I appreciate her also helping out on the piano today in the absence of Miss Linda Parrish. Excuse me, Miss Linda. I looked over at you, and that's why I said Linda Pope, okay? Miss Linda Pope is homesick today, so please remember her in prayer. In our Bibles, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 22 for our text today. We've been speaking a message series that we will finish today, by the way, on values that last. I'll have to go back and count the messages, the number of messages we preached, but I think it's probably at least in the number 10 range of messages this is. But we're going to look at today the value of being thankful, of course, a good way to end this series today. And I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 22, invite you to stand with me if you're able to stand one more time. And we're going to let our kids, children's church, young people go out to their service. All right, some of them are... All right, is that it? Is that all of them? Okay, thank you. Genesis 22, and let's read verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this passage that we have read. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help me to be led of the Spirit to preach the message that you have given me to preach today. Lord, I'm excited about this message because it is your word. And God, I pray now that we would also apply it to our hearts as I believe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking and will be speaking this morning. And may we respond in the manner that you would lead us to respond during the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. John's got our special this morning, so you listen to these things.
Story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard there would be a sacrifice and blood would flow to pay sin's price. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story. Heart of God's redemption of man, worship the Lamb of glory. On the cross, God loved the world while all the powers of hell were hurled. No one there could understand. The one they saw was Christ the Lamb, precious Lamb of glory. Love's most wondrous story. Heart of God's redemption of man, worship the Lamb of glory. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story. redemption of man. Worship the Lamb of glory. Worship the Lamb of glory.
John works with our young people and does a great job with that. And of course, he did a good job with that song. Thank you, John. Enjoyed that. Genesis 22, verses 6 through 8 is our text. You know, someone has said, and I'm sure you may have heard this statement before, someone said that change is inevitable, but often it is unwelcome. Change is inevitable, but it's often unwelcome. You know, they also, I heard statements someone said that we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. And that is so true as well. You know, our Lord, I believe, has a wonderful future for all of us here today, His children. We live in a time where, obviously, there are difficult times that we live in, but yet we have been so blessed. As we look back, I'm sure many of us over our lives, we live in a great nation. We have our problems today that we're praying that we can work through. But yet, we're still a blessed nation. And we have a lot to be thankful for this time of year. This church has tremendous potential. We've seen God bless over the 40 years that we have been in existence as a church. God has provided many things for us over the years through the faithfulness of God's people and making things work and in the way that God would hopefully have us to work here in this community to reach people with the gospel. And I am thankful to be the pastor here, have been for 27 years. I look down at Rachel. You're not quite there yet, right? But she came here as Caleb, she was just a little old baby. All right? Just a little baby. And now look at her. But we've been here that long, okay? But she's still a baby in my eyes. All right? But, you know, we're a blessed people. And we find here in this passage, we examine a great moment in life, in the life of Abraham. And we, as we examine the life of Abraham in this moment in his life, we learn some practical principles that we find in this passage for simply believing in God and believing in God's provisions. And that leads, anytime we believe in God and we believe in God's provisions, it should always lead us to being thankful, should it not? Being thankful for what God has done for us and does for us. Now, again, this is another of those familiar passages of Scripture that I know that many of you have read, and I've preached a number of times, even from this pulpit. But we've read and we've heard this passage many times, but don't think this morning that we cannot benefit from looking again and seeing what God has for us in this passage. I want you to notice with me, if you would, in this passage as we go back and just kind of reflect upon really the highlights of what's going on here in Genesis 22. I want you to notice that Abraham, of course, he was the father of Israel. He was referred to as the father of Israel. At the call of God, at the age of 75, Abraham left his home in the Ur of Chaldees, the Bible says, following the voice of God to the promised land, where God had him to go, not knowing, by the way, where he was even going. But what he did, he believed God. He believed in God's promises. He believed that God would that God's promise would lead him to that nation where God was leading him, that land where God was leading him, because Abraham was known as, of course, the father of a great nation. Isaac, of course, later was born. As we see here, he was born in the time where Hebrews chapter 11 says that Abraham was as good as dead. Now, how would you like to be referred to as that? Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. God tested Abraham's faith by saying in verse 2, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go afar, and he says to offer him there as a burnt offering. Now, by the way, to offer his son for a burnt offering, this would mean killing his son in most folks' eyes. And even Abraham had to assume that's part of what God was wanting him to do here. It would mean to kill his son, and that would end the promise of the Abrahamic covenants. Such action, by the way, would seem irrational, yet Abraham still obeyed God, right? And so trusting the provision of God, they set off for the distant mountains. And when they drew near, he left his servant behind, the Bible says, and he bound wood for the sacrifice on Isaac's back, and he took a torch. The Bible says that the fire that was in his hand, it believed would be, was like a torch. And he took a knife in his hand. They started up this mountain. And Isaac begins to ask questions. And it's believed that Isaac could have been as old as 20 years old here. And Isaac began to ask his father a question. He says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 7. Abraham replied in verse 8, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb. As Abraham, he looked up, he saw a ram later that was caught in a thicket. The Bible says in verse 13, right? And God offered this lamb, of course, in verse 13, in the place of killing his son. And by the way, the verse that I want you to look at is in verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand, God says, upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. That's a southern way of saying it. Sticker bush, I guess. I don't know. And Abraham went and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That's a Hebrew terminology or word, actually a Hebrew name that means the Lord will provide. That God provides a way. Now how could he do such a thing? How could God allow Abraham to kill his son? Well, Abraham had to believe, as Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 19 says, that God, even if God led him to kill his own son, that Abraham believed that God was able to even raise him up from the dead. Although that had never happened up to this point before. Abraham had never seen a resurrection before. But he believed that God was able to raise his own son up from the dead. Abraham believed God more than anything. So in his obedience and his faith in God's provisions, he became a beautiful picture, Isaac did, of God the Father who offered his only begotten son. Abraham was that picture that God used to offer his son for sacrifice, which later, during Christ's life, you go back and you put these two in comparison, that what Jesus was showing here was what Jesus did for all of us 2,000 years later. You know, the essence of faith is really trusting in the provision of God, isn't it? It's trusting the provision of God which leads us to being thankful. This morning I give you some things to think about as we look at this value that is really missing in our society. A value of being thankful. Now it used to be when someone would do something nice for you, that you always taught your kids to, you know, say thank you, right? I mean, that's just usually not a Southern hospitality thing, right? That should be everywhere, but a lot of that's not being done anymore. Opened a door for a lady the other day, which, you know, I was always taught, you know, do that. And this lady would not go proceed forward. And I'm trying to be nice. And she was, I think she was one of those women libbers. You know what I'm talking about. That I'm not going to let a man open the door for me. So I said, okay. I didn't say that. I saw she wasn't going to proceed in, so I went on in. You know, now listen, that was just the way I was raised. You know, if somebody brings you a glass of tea or whatever, you know, you often would say you're thankful for the provision. When God does something for us in life, obviously the little things we often sometimes miss, but maybe we don't miss too many of the bigger things, but yet in all things we should be thankful, the Bible says. But in everything, let's give thanks. Let's look at a few things this morning concerning this matter of being thankful. We should be thankful, first of all, that God provides all of our needs. I've alluded to that a little bit. But yet, we ought to be thankful that God provides all of our needs. You see, God's people have always had needs. All of mankind have had needs. But yet, in this case, as we look at it from the standpoint of being a child of God, we all have needs, don't we? We've always had needs. Matter of fact, there's some biblical examples of God's children who had needs. We see here that Abraham needed a sacrifice. We see that Isaac in the Bible needed a wife, you find later on. There was a time where Jacob needed food. There was a time where Moses needed a sea that needed to be parted, right? He wasn't able to go anywhere. And what did God do? God parted the sea. Joshua needed a victory. We find that Samson needed great strength. We find that Ruth needed a home. David needed a prophet. Solomon needed wisdom. Nehemiah needed workers. Daniel needed protection. We find that Ezekiel needed a vision. We find in Peter's time that Peter needed faith. We find that Saul needed a blinding light. John needed a revelation. And we find that today we need a Savior. Oh, listen, we all have needs. You know, we have other needs as well, don't we? Some of us need money for the next rent or mortgage payment that's going to come due here in a few days. Some need a job. There are others who need comfort in time of grief. There are times where we need peace when we're going through some uncertain things. And I put this in here for mothers. There are moms that just need a break. I figured I'd get an amen from a few moms, right? Of course, Miss Kate's in the nursery this morning. Bless her heart. With all those kids, she's doing taking care of the nursery today. But you know what? Listen, we all have needs. Our church has needs. You think about it, and Caleb can vouch for this, I'm sure, for where he works in the church there in Ohio. But you know, the church always needs workers. I mean, there's never a time where if you come to me and you say, well, preacher, do you have enough workers? My answer will be no. I can always use some extra help doing something. The church is always in need of God's people making the church work together. Because, by the way, it's not all done by the pastor. And I'm thankful for the workers that we have here in this church. You show up on Wednesday night, you go back here in Awana, you go back with the team building, we've got workers. Thank God for that. Sunday morning, the same applies. We have folks that are working. During the week, we have folks that are down here sometimes that's working during the week. And thank God for that. We always need workers. We need finances. Obviously, a church functions by the faithful giving of God's people to take care of the needs of the work of the ministry. So there's needs for finances. I'm thankful for the power bill that's paid because we have lights today. Thankful that we have heat this morning. We needed that, right? And you know, in the summertime, thank God for the air condition. So yeah, all those things that we sometimes take for granted, but God uses His people to supply the needs of the financial needs of the church. We need to do more for missions as we, thank God, we have missionaries that we support around the world, but there's always a need to take care of the missionary. We need to reach out more with the gospel in our community. There's always a need to reach out. Yesterday I had Jehovah's Witness came to my door, and very seldom do I take the time to really get into a discussion with them. But I felt pretty good yesterday. when they came to the door. Now, I'm not ever mean to them. I don't think that's the right thing to do, okay? You know, I tried to treat them with respect, although they knew that I let it be known real quick that you're talking to a preacher here. So go ahead and tell me what you're going to say. And so they did. And of course, I let them know that I'm not going to change your mind, you're not going to change my mind. But I tried to use it as an opportunity to witness. And by the way, I never encourage any of our church family to really get in a conversation with a cult, okay? Simply because, again, as I stated to this cult, that you don't really change their minds. Now, unless you're comfortable enough with what you believe and you know what they believe, then I think that's okay. But if you're not founded strong enough on what you believe when it comes to being able to, because, boy, they'll always come back with something that seems to, they can top yours, okay? But anyway, there's a need to get the gospel out. I told these folks, listen, we live in America. I don't agree with what you're saying, but I wouldn't want to take away your right to be able to go door to door and be able to tell somebody what you're telling them, although I disagree with it, but I want to have the same right to be able to go out and share the truth of the gospel. Okay? We need to be sharing the gospel in our communities. Listen, our Jehovah's Witness, our Mormons, they're working overtime to get their message out. That's a false message. But yet, thank God, we have the truth. Oh, we have something that everybody needs to hear, and we need to share our faith with others. Now, you know, we're thankful this morning for God's blessings, and God provides all of our needs. God is certainly aware of our needs. You say, well, preacher, does God know what my needs are? Sure He does. God knows what we need, even before we even ask it. But none of these needs surprise God, right, that we have. You know, He is still on the throne. God is not wringing His hands today in heaven in worrying about how I'm going to take care of that child of God's needs. God has, He does not have anxiety. He does not have to overcome anxiety like we have to do sometimes, because some of you are thinking about, maybe even as I speak, about a particular need or a problem that you've got to deal with in the next week or a few days, whether it be health related, job related, or financially or whatever. But thank God He doesn't wring His hands and worrying about needs, because God knows how to take care of our needs. God knows how to take care of our children. God knows how to take care of those problems. But you see, God says in Psalm 152, He reminds us through the psalmist David in verses Psalm 115. I didn't mean to say 152, but in Psalm 115 in verses 2 and 3, this passage reminds us that God's in complete control. And I love it. It says, "Wherefore should the heathen say," that is, why should the nations say, in other words, "where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." In other words, God does whatever He pleases. With all that we're dealing with in our society today, God is not worrying about ISIS one iota. God does not fear terrorists. Now, obviously, we know that God can handle those terrorists with just cutting off the oxygen, as I've often said. God could take care of that. Now, sometimes we wish that God would do things like that. But God's in complete control because of what the psalmist says here, that God does what He pleases. Also, Matthew 6:26 says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap." That is, the birds of the air. God knows what they need. He said, "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." He feeds them. "Are you not much better than they?" Are you not worth more than they are? The birds, He's speaking. Got my attention this morning. I was in the foyer waiting for Sunday school and here to end. And there was a little bird sitting on the our fountain out there. And I've seen them there a number of times. But a lot of times you walk up close to the window, they'll just fly off. But this little bird was just sitting there, just happy-go-lucky, you might say. Just enjoying the nice breeze and just the comfort of knowing I've got all this water to myself. and just sitting there. And this passage came to mind. You know, God, if He'll take care of that little sparrow, that little bird, then God takes care of us. You know, and that's a small example, but God gave us that example. You know, whatever anxiety you're faced with today or worry, you ought to be thankful that you have a God who knows your needs, and God's not caught off guard by that. God takes care of our needs. You see, God knows our personal needs. God knows, yes, whether you need that money. He knows whether you need that rest or that relief or that peace. God knows our needs as a church, and God is not a distance God, but God is ultimately and intimately involved in all of our struggles. God is faithful also to meet our needs. He is. You know, think back on your life since you've been saved. Now, some of you have been saved a number of years. Let me ask you this question and give an honest answer. Has there ever been a need that God has not met in your life? Now, you say, well, preacher, I can think of some things. Most likely what you're thinking of is a want. Okay? I've got a lot of wants. But God, if we're honest, God meets our needs. Maybe not quite in the way that we want them done sometimes, but God takes care of His children. And so I would say that the honest answer would most likely be no, because there's never been a time where God has ever demonstrated Himself to be unfaithful to His children. God is always faithful. He who is faithful to God, God will be faithful to as well. Now, Abraham, he climbed Mount Moriah, the Bible says. Now, Mount Moriah was an important historical, in our day and time now, place. Traditionally, it was associated with Jerusalem and the site on which Solomon's temple would later be built. And surely, as he was climbing this mountain, this Mount Moriah, he remembered the God who is faithful to provide his needs. You know, he remembered how God gave him a land when he had no land. He remembered when God gave him a son at 100 years old when he didn't have a son. You know, Romans 4:3 says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You know, we serve what the Bible says. We serve an immutable God, meaning that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, He'll be the same today, and of course tomorrow, because we serve that immutable God that never changes. He who was faithful in the past to supply our needs will be so faithful to supply our needs in the future. Philippians 4:19. Say it with me if you know it. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So God will open up the storehouse of His riches to us. But we got to learn to trust Him to supply our needs. Do we trust Him to meet our needs individually? Do we trust Him to meet our needs as a church? That's where it comes down to it. You know, we have to know that God knows what our needs are, because God provides all of our needs. But yet, you know, we have to learn to have faith that God will provide. Second point this morning, why should we be thankful? We should be thankful for the fact that God provides through our obedience. You say, "Preacher, all these years I come to church, does it really mean anything?" I really do. I believe it does. All these times I'm involved in Sunday school, or I'm involved in helping some child grow in the Lord, and you know, or being in, you know, actively going out here, maybe knocking on doors and being a witness, does it really add up to be anything? Well, I believe it does. Now, we may not experience all the rewards here, but yet God has some greater rewards in heaven. But it is important for all of us to be found obedient to the Lord. You know, because that's where God often shows that He's willing to provide for our every need. Obedience is important. But sometimes God tests our faith. Have you noticed that? We find an example here in Scripture. As you look back in Genesis chapter 22 with me in verse 1. Look there with me. Genesis 22 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did," what does it say? "Tempt Abraham. Now, by the way, the word tempt here means to put to the test. That's what God did. He was testing Abraham. He wasn't tempting in the way that we would often think of temptation. And let me just put this little tidbit in here. God never tempts us to do wrong. All right? You can always keep that in mind. The devil is the one that tempts us to do wrong. God, when the Bible speaks of God tempting, it's speaking of God testing us. And in this case, God was testing Abraham. God tested the faith of Abraham. Psalm 11 verse 5 says, "The Lord trieth the righteous," and He does. God sometimes will test us as His children. Psalm says in Psalm 17 verse 3, "Thou hast proved mine heart, Thou hast visited me in the night, Thou hast tried me." I like what Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10 says, that God told Jeremiah, He says, "I, the Lord, searcheth the heart, I try the reins." God tested and tried Job in Job 23 and verse 10, when Job says, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me," that is when He had tested me, "I shall come forth as" what? "Gold." And then Peter was tried. We all know the passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God tests our faith. Sometimes it's on a daily basis. I'm not going to ask how many have been tested this past week, because I'm sure there have been many. I'm sure your faith has been tested. Maybe not to the degree that Abraham is tested here, but yet we know that God test our faith sometimes on a daily basis. He knows how we're sometimes going to respond to the test, because God is an omniscient God, meaning that God's all-knowing. Sometimes God tests our faith to show us how strong we are, maybe how weak we really are spiritually. I think the same way God tests individual believers, sometimes we find that God tests the church in that way, doesn't He? There are churches that have to be put through the test. So we pass God's test, how? We pass God's test by our obedience. You know, that's what was going on with Abraham. We find, look again in Genesis 22 and verse 1, "And it came to pass after the things that God did tempt, He tested Abraham." What was He doing here when He says He tested Abraham? He was examining Abraham's heart. You go to the doctor, and of course, I went a few weeks ago just to be checked out a little bit. And of course, there's a few things that you automatically know they're going to do. Right? What are they? Going to check your temperature, the blood pressure, and they're going to just check your heart. And that's what the doctor did. Why is He doing that? He's testing to make sure that it's all kind of working in the right way. God does the same thing with us. God tests our heart. Maybe not the physical heart, but our faithfulness. Are we going to be obedient? And God does that to challenge us in our walk, to trust Him. You know, we pass God's test through obedience. And what did God want from Abraham? He wanted Abraham to trust Him by faith, to obey. Because God knew that, hey, God had some great things for Abraham. And what does God want from us? God wants to test our faith so that we'll obey. And some of you right now this morning, God may be just putting you through a little test. You're wondering, why am I going through whatever it is? It doesn't mean that, listen, that it's necessarily a bad thing. It may be bad to you right now, because whatever it is you're going through may not be fun. But it may be a way that God is just trying to make you stronger in your walk with God, to trust Him, so that, yes, when you come through it, like James says, we can learn to be thankful, that we can learn to experience that joy that we often have, we forget about when we're going through a trial. You know, God's test for us may be obedience of witnessing to a lost co-worker. Well, preacher, I don't like to put myself in that position, because I'm uncomfortable with that. But God may be wanting you, yeah, to be that witness. Great time of the year to be a witness, right? I mean, Thanksgiving, Christmas has come along. Listen, I believe people's hearts are sensitive and tender toward the gospel this time of year than any other. It may be the test of giving up a bad habit. You know, we all have experienced that maybe in our life, but maybe that is part of your test. It may be filling some position in the church. It may be the test of trusting God to provide as
we give our tithes and offerings. It may be that God's putting us to the test so that we would obey Him. And the more we obey Him, the more we learn to trust Him, right? And the more we learn to trust Him and obey Him, the more we are willing to step out by faith and accept that God does have a role for me to play in this life. Because, you know, think about it. If God wanted, when He saved us, you know, He could just take us on to heaven. But God leaves us around for a purpose. We have a mission to accomplish. Now, I've said many times, heaven is something I'm looking forward to going to one day, but, you know, why does God leave us around? Well, we have to learn in this life to obey Him, to trust Him, so that we can every day step out by faith and be used of God, because all of us are ministers of the gospel. Maybe not in a full-time position like I am or Caleb or some of these others, but yet we're all called to be ministers of the gospel, to carry forth that gospel. So we need to trust God in the abundant provisions that He provides for us. You know, every day God, if we're willing to trust Him, God wants to provide that abundant joy that He wants us to have as believers. God doesn't expect Christians to walk around with a gloomy face. And, you know, I watch enough news in the last few days, and you know, there's just times you just have to turn that thing off, and you just got to, you know, get off the Facebook, and you got to get off the, you know, all these other things that, boy, just if allow us, will set the mood for us. And you know, the devil loved for all that to happen, because he knows if the devil can rob us of our joy, then we're defeated. I mean, a lot of times some of these things hit you early in the morning, don't they? Or it seems to be. Just before you start your day. Sometimes it seems like that on getting ready to go out the door to go to church on Sunday morning. And boy, you're all excited. I get to go to church. And all of a sudden, boy, you get that bad news just before you get to church. And bam, there goes the opportunity to really enjoy what God has for us. Abundant joy. God provides that. Matter of fact, Psalm 36:8 says, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." God has joy that He provides for us through our thanksgiving. He provides abundant life. Thank God for that. Another provision of God. Job 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy." God says, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it how? More abundantly." God wants us to enjoy the life that He gives us, but abundantly, abundant life. And then He provides abundant grace. I'm thankful for what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency and all things may abound in" what? In every good work. That grace, that abundant grace that Paul is speaking of here, God provides for us if we're willing to accept that. And then God provides that abundant power that we need, that energy that we need, that strength, that spiritual energy I'm speaking of. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Without the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit working in us, we're nothing, right? I mean, there's nothing that we can accomplish without the power and the strength that God gives us. And God provides for us that abundant power. And God provides for us that abundant entrance one day. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be around for the trumpet to sound. I would like to be, wouldn't you? I've said that many times. I'd like to be able to hear. I'd like, you know, Brother Frank gets up here and blows that horn. But I don't think Brother Frank has anything over that angel that one day is going to sound that trumpet. Brother Frank, you do a good job up here. But you know what? That angel, boy, he's experienced. He's ready. That angel don't know the day nor the hour, but he knows that he's going to be given the job to sound the trumpet. And you know what? There's got to be some excitement there. Just on the edge of waiting. Kind of like us. As God's children, we're sometimes just waiting for that trumpet to sound, and we don't know the day nor the hour, but we know that we just can't wait. If that, you know, now if some may die beforehand, before that, and that's fine. But yet, I would still like to be one of the privileged groups, and I say that, you know, just like the privileged group that was here in the beginning, I'd like to be the privileged group that was at the end. I mean, just really to be able to say, hey, I got to end it. You know? But He's going to provide an abundant entrance to heaven one day. One day we'll have God's angels escort us to heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 says, For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I've never had an escort like that. Have you? I mean, I'm not that important of a person. I've seen a couple of presidents and, you know, how they have the security, but we don't have to worry about the security, but we'll have angels that one day that we get to be escorted to heaven. And by the way, if you die first, that's fine. You still are escorted to heaven. It's just knowing that we're going to all go up one day in the rapture. But either way, we find that there's going to be that abundant entrance into heaven one day. Praise God for that. We're provided that. Are you thankful for that today? Are you thankful for God's joy? The life that God gives you. The grace. The power. The last thing, and I want you to write this down if you want. We should be thankful this morning that God provides at just the right time. The preacher, I just can't wait. I have a need now, but that's okay. God knows what that need is. We serve a God that provides at just the right time. You see, our timing is not always God's timing. I know you've heard that, and I know you know that, but Abraham told Isaac, he says, my son, God will provide himself the lamb. Now, Abraham did not know what was going to come about. He didn't know the future. God did not reveal to Abraham how this is all going to end up. He just knew that God is the provider of our needs. And he knew that Abraham, that God is going to take care of things. Don't know how that's going to be, but God will provide for himself a lamb. Abraham trusted God's timing here, did he not, as we see in this passage. He trusted that God would provide at just the right time. Do we trust God's timing is the question. Too often we're anxious for God to do something right now. And we might even say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. You know, God's timing is perfect. When the altar was built, we go back to our story in Genesis 22. When the altar was built, the wood was laid. Just kind of have to picture this. The wood was laid and the sun was bound. Now, again, most theologians believe that Isaac was right around 20, maybe even a little older. He could have took his dad. I mean, he could have wrestled his dad and took the knife away, but it goes to show you that not only was Abraham being obedient, but his son Isaac was being obedient as well. So he took him and he bound his son. Abraham raised his knife. Now, do you believe Abraham was getting ready to follow through? I believe he was. The Bible teaches. He raised his knife in faith. Abraham, if you picture this scene in your mind, Abraham, the man of faith, so trusted God that he would have plunged that knife into his promised son's heart. Now you say, that just doesn't sound right, preacher. Why would God do that? God was not going to allow Abraham to kill his son. We now know that. We know the end of the story, right? Abraham didn't know that. God was not going to allow that. But sometimes that's how far God may cause us, our faith, to be tested. Now, I've never had an experience like that, and I dare say many of us will never have an experience quite like, adds up quite like to what we see here in Scripture. Sometimes the tests that we go through in life God knows exactly what we need to get us through it, and also to learn to trust Him by faith and be thankful. By the way, as Abraham raised that knife up, God wasn't early. In other words, God didn't stop Abraham when they arrived at the top of the mountain. God could have said, "Well, I see you're serious about doing this, Abraham, and you came all the way up top of this mountain, you climbed this mountain. Okay, you proved to me that you're going to be obedient, you're faithful." If that had been the case, God would have been too early in the test here, right? And by the way, God was not late here. God, because we're speaking of God's timing is always perfect. And God was not late. In other words, He didn't call to Abraham when the boy, when this young man was lying there about to die. But the Bible says He's right on time. We know that because God's timing was stepped in at a moment where God says, "Okay, Abraham, see that ram? It's caught in a thicket. You prove your test. You've proven that you've been faithful." You know, for us, sometimes God sends a friend. God sends a friend with the right word at just the right time. Some of you can experience that or have experienced that. You know, it may be that God sent that check in the mail when you wasn't expecting that at just the right time. Can I share a story with you real quickly? I really didn't intend to share this story, but it just hit me. It was just shared to me this morning. As a young man, Steve's not here this morning. He could verify it. By the way, pray for Steve. He had to go to the doctor. He thinks he had a spider bite or something. We all encouraged him to get to the doctor. So I think he listened. But Steve shared something with me this morning that he's got a young man, young boy, a boy, a young man, maybe about the age of Caleb. I didn't even call you boy, Caleb. But a young man, and they're married. They have a child, I think. They've had some struggles financially. And this young man, somehow Steve was able to hire him to work for him. He's very thankful. He came to church here a few weeks ago. They don't have a vehicle. They have to ride. He rides a bicycle. I think his wife works uptown, so they walk. She walks to work. So Steve sat down. He said, "Rick, I need to share with you something that took place this past week." He said, I invited this boy over to my house. We were going to over to this lady's house. We're going to put out some pine straw for this lady." And she had a vehicle. I think it was a truck in her drive. She didn't drive it. It's an older model truck. And Steve was thinking of the young man that needed a vehicle. And so he walks over to the lady and says, "Ma'am," says, told the lady about the situation of this young man, says, "Listen, would you be willing to sell that truck?" She says, "No, but I'll give it to somebody." Steve says, "Well, really not asking you to give it away, but," she said, "let me talk to the young man." So he goes over, the young man goes over to the lady, older lady, and all of a sudden Steve, he wasn't trying to listen to the conversation, but he saw in a distance they were hugging one another and tears coming down his eyes. And this lady, I think, works at the hospital, Baptist Hospital, maybe here in Prattville or one of them. And come to find out that about a year ago, well, at the hospital they have a box where people drop their prayer request in. And she happens to be the lady that takes the prayer request out and reads them and passes them along, gives them out to people to pray over. But there's one prayer request she held out. And she's had it for a year. And she asked the young man, she says, "Were you at Baptist Hospital about such and such time?" "Yeah." "What did you drop a prayer request in that box?" He said, "Yeah." "What did you write on that card?" He said, "I wrote on the card, I'm praying for a vehicle. You know where I'm headed." And so she says, "You know, I've had this card for a year, waiting for God to direct me on what to do with this vehicle." And she says, "I now know what God wants me to do." And she signed the papers over and gave that young man her car, her truck. Now, folks, like Steve, when Steve was sharing with that in my office, now listen, I'm thinking, wow, I don't think I've heard something quite so detailed and laid out like that. But I've heard God doing things like that before. Now, you say, well, that just happened to work out that way. Well, I don't want, you know, I'm not a believer that way. And now, you know, I believe that God knows our needs, and God doesn't necessarily reveal the details to us like that. But you know what? You've got to believe that God does things like that for us every day of our life. We just don't know how the details are laid out. But I say all that to say this. I had no intention of sharing that story with you this morning, but it was shared with me, and it kind of fits pretty good here. That God's time. Now, this, by the way, this young man had to wait for a year. God knew what he needed a year before that. He had prayed about that, but he waited for a year, and God's timing was just right. Because you know what? There's some other details I'm leaving out here for sake of time. But had this not happened, then they would have, may have had a problem getting their child together, because the judge gave them some stipulations and some other things. And I don't know all the details about that. Steve can fill in the blanks. But, you know, thank God for His provisions. You know, it may be, as I said, that there's a need that you have. It may not be answered in quite in the way that we want, but God doesn't hit and miss. God is not a God of approximation, but God is a God of exactness this morning. We need to trust in God's timing, because God is always on time. We can trust in His exactness. We can trust in God's provisions. We can trust in God's perfect timing. And I'm sure that all of us could probably give testimony at there's a point in time in our life where God has answered and took care of a need in your life that you're thinking, wow, I can't believe God did it this way. And it just blew you away. But that's the kind of God that we serve. So I close to this point this morning. We ought to be thankful that we serve a living God. He's not dead, but He's alive and wants to take care of our needs if we'll trust Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you for going along. But you know what? As we go in this invitation time, some of you are sitting here worrying maybe. Maybe there's an issue that you're dealing with. But you know what? Worry does... Worry indicates a failure to believe God. And we all find ourselves doing that from time to time, doesn't it? But when we find ourselves worrying, it's an indicator that we don't believe God sometimes. And if we're worried over something, we're not trusting in God's provisions. And what happens? That we find ourselves not being thankful. So I ask you this morning, let's be thankful that God provides all of our needs.